And so I'm glad I'm bound that way, headed that direction. And if the Lord takes me home soon or any time, I'll know where I'm going. I hope you can have that same in your heart also as a message from the Lord to us that we can enjoy life and then enjoy life eternal. Well, these last couple of weeks have been graduations going on throughout the different counties in our county and other counties, our school and other schools. And I want to take just a little bit this morning just to recognize those that have graduated. We've got a couple that are not here this morning, but we'll take care of those later. But I want you to come up and just stand here until we get everybody introduced. And I know you don't want to, probably don't desire to do that. That's okay. If I can look at this crowd all the time, you can look at them a few minutes. So that'll take care of that. So Caleb Yandel, if you would come this morning. Caleb graduated this year as our salutatorian, and we're thankful for him. Have a gift here for each one of them. Anna Dunkerson, have her to come. And Jesse Piercy. There's Caleb. And Jesse, and have one more graduate. Y'all just stay up here, get a little closer together. Have one more graduate. I've got two that are not here. Catherine Hag is not here this morning, and Cody's not here. I really wish Cody was here. I got a special card for him, but he's not here this morning, but we will take care of that. And but have Miss Megan Jones, want her to come. She graduated not from high school, but from Pensacola Christian. And so we are grateful and thankful for her work, not only here in our school, but then graduating from Pensacola. And so God bless you. Thank you all. Congratulations to each one of you. And I know our church will be praying for you. God bless you all. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. We went up just a few minutes last night to Catherine's graduation reception, and Dr. Hag said, all I remember when I graduated was a congratulations. And he said, I think it's changed over the years, but she had a good time there. And we appreciate the work that our students do, whatever school they go to, and to graduate and to be known as a graduate of that particular place. It's an accomplishment that I certainly can be proud of, and then go on to other places, like Megan went to college and has taken care of that and graduated. It doesn't seem like it's been that long since you stood up here as a graduate from here, but time goes on pretty rapidly anymore. And, of course, when you're enduring the problems of classes, it goes by very slow. We on the outside looking in, it goes by very fast. And now you can look at it and say, boy, that didn't take so long. But when it's all finished, well said and done, then God can bless each one of you. And we certainly do pray for you. If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 3. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter number 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10. And I want to direct this to our graduates, but it's also directed, of course, to everyone. And these are words that all of us can take good advice. I've got a double heading for the message this morning. And I guess it would be better to be called Good Advice for Christians. This is advice that Solomon, the wisest of all men, has given. He talks to his son. And of course, as a part of the inspired Word of God, then that Word is speaking to you and I. But also have it here as a Proverbs for the graduates. Those that have graduated from different schools and different levels of education. These are words that all of us can take and can apply to our heart and can be better as a child of God, as a Christian, in our personal life. So let's begin reading in verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Father, we pray you take these words this morning, apply them to each of our hearts that we might serve you better, and to have this advice given to us from a wise man that you had given the great wisdom that he did not ask for. He did not ask for the riches of the world. He just simply asked for the wisdom of God. And so, Father, I pray we'd take these things, apply them to our heart, that might better equip us to serve you ever how many days that we have upon your earth. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Proverbs, as already stated, was written by Solomon, the wisest of all men. As God asked him, he said, I'll grant unto you anything that your hearts desire. Anything that you want, Solomon, God says, I will give it to you. And Solomon asked a simple request from the Lord. He did not ask for riches. He did not ask for all the things that the world had to offer. But he asked for something that only God could give him, and that was wisdom, how that he might be able to be a good king and to lead the nation of Israel. And because Solomon asked for that wisdom, God gave him riches, God gave him understanding, God gave him leadership ability, and God blessed him immensely simply because he desired the wisdom of the Lord. I thank the Lord this morning for especially these young folks that stood before you, and those that are not here this morning, those that have gone to a point in their life of completion and graduation of certain aspects, certain places of education. And in the years to come, I pray for the Lord to give them spiritual victories in their personal life and to take care of the defeats that might come and to help in the failures that might also be around the corner. There's not a person that's ever accomplished anything that did not fail. There's not a person living that has not accomplished something that did not have problems and troubles. It does not come without that. Success comes with many difficulties. Success comes with a lot of struggle and a lot of pressures. But as a child of God, as a Christian this morning, these words that I've read to you out of the third chapter of Proverbs gives us a way that we can have advice from the Lord and have the things given to us that God offers to us, the encouragements from His Word. The book of Proverbs is a book of dozens and dozens, if not even hundreds, of encouragements and also warnings to the child of God. The book of Proverbs is filled with the blessings of the Lord. The book of Proverbs is filled with the things, the contrast between the wicked and the wise. And it's a book filled with the proverbs of the sayings that would help individuals to serve the Lord. And the word proverb, it just simply is a short saying that expresses a basic truth or a practical precept or truth for the work of the life of an individual. A proverb is a short saying. I don't know if any of us have not heard Confucius say, and then there'd be something that's after that. Sometimes it's used as a joke or as a funny. But Solomon says, and what he says is the word of the Lord that's given as advice to the child of God. I've heard a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of you have heard people say, just follow your dreams and that will be okay. There are some that would say, just follow your heart and your heart will lead you the right direction. But as a child of God, we know that the Bible tells us that our heart is deceived. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart is wicked. Our heart leads us many times the wrong direction. So it's not my intention this morning to tell any of us to follow our heart. But it is my intention, just for a few minutes, that we might understand that we can follow the Lord. To follow Him in every avenue of our life and to have the direction that God gives to us, just to follow the Lord, whether we be on the mountaintop of graduation or whether we be on the mountaintop of some experience in our life that God has blessed us with victory, or whether we be in the valley of defeat and despair, I'm glad we can still say the battle is not ours, the battle is the Lord's, and we can follow Him. And so this morning I want us to look at these verses and just notice some things, some advice that the book of Proverbs, Solomon, gives to us as a believer, and of course we can apply it to our graduates. Number one, we find in verse number 1 and 2. And we're just simply going to go down through here pretty much here in this text this morning. Verse 1 and 2 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace, and shall they add to thee." The first thing we want to notice this morning that Solomon says, do not forget the Word. Don't forget the Word. I'm glad this morning we have a copy of God's Word before us, and we can read that, and everything that comes to our life, this book here has the solution. It has the answer. It has the message for us if we would just search it out and find it. We're to keep it in our heart, the Scripture says. Even the book of Psalms, David said, "Thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." And Solomon says to keep the Word, not to forget my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So here we find that Solomon tells us that we are to keep the Word of God in our heart. We need to hear it, we need to read it, we need to study it, we need to memorize it, and we do all those things that we might obey it. It doesn't do much good to read it if we don't obey it. It doesn't do much good to memorize it. And sometimes here in school, and I've heard other places, that the students will memorize verse after verse after verse, and that's well and good and that's great and should be, but it does no good to memorize it all if we do not obey any of it. And so the whole thing of the Word of God is that we might keep those things in our heart, that we might obey that. Of course, we do have to hear it. We do have to study it. We do have to memorize it. We do have to have all those things that we might be able to obey what thus saith the Lord. If we don't know what it says, we can't obey it. If we don't know the rules, we can't keep the rules. If we don't know the law, then we don't know what a lawbreaker and our keeper of the law. So this book before us this morning is the Word of God. It is the law of God. It's the message of God. And so therefore, if we're going to follow Him, if we're going to do anything for the Lord, we must not forget His Word and keep that and obey it. And there's benefits to doing that. There's great benefits in the message of God. And verse number 2 tells us here that we can have length of days, we can have long life, and that we can have peace in our soul. We're living in a world that's full of discord and distrust, and we're living in a very disruptive world. But I'm telling you this morning, the Word of God can give you peace in your heart. Even in the midst of all the struggles, in the midst of all the problems, in the midst of all the difficulties, God can give you peace, but it comes through His Word. You see, we believe this morning that God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice. I've never heard the voice of God. I've never heard the voice of Jesus Christ, and I dare say neither have you. But we do hear His voice through the Word. We do hear His message through what God has given to us. And we believe that this book is the inspired or the God-breathed Word of the Lord. And so therefore, if we have it before us, then we can certainly believe it. And He says, if you will keep it, it'll give you length of days and long life, and will give you peace in your soul. The word peace there is a very interesting word. It means to be settled. We live in an unsettled world. We live in a world that seemingly has turned upside down. We live in a world that is troubled, confused, has no direction, has no answers. They pour more money into programs, but yet the programs fail. They pour more money into the ways of what's supposed to help us, but they have long time ago rejected what really will help us, and that's the Word of God. We are people that have turned our back upon truth, and we are going after fairy tales, and we're searching for things maybe that will help us. We have our psychologists and psychiatrists, and we have all of our doctors and all the people that are supposed to know the workings of the mind and the workings of society, but yet all that we've put into that has not helped us one bit. We are farther down the tube than we were just a few years ago. And so Solomon says here, "My son, forget not my law," which is the Word of God. "Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." He says, "And if you do that, you'll have length of days." Somebody said, "Well, I don't care how long I live." Well, next time you get sick, don't go to the doctor. We do care how long we live. We do desire length of days. We do desire long years. We do desire to live our life as long as we can. And as long as we can be productive and serve God, we desire. God has put within us the desire to live. God has put within, I believe, in the soul of an individual, that desire to fight for life. Brother Tom, you saw that. I've seen that. There's a desire for that one that is laying on the bed sick to struggle, to live. And the body does not want to give up the fight. I watched my mom from Wednesday to Saturday. I watched the struggle that went on in her life to live. In order for her to have peace and comfort, they kept giving her the medicine, and I knew what was going to take place. The nurse came to me. She said, "Now you know there's no reversal of what's happening." I said, "I understand that." And so the body that God gives us, the soul that we are, has a desire to live as long as possible upon this earth. Length of days. Long life. But what good is it to have a long life? And what good is it to have a length of days if we don't have peace? There's a lot of people who don't have peace and they're living a long time and they're very unsettled. And the only way we're going to have peace, that's the word that I believe that is the key here to this passage, is the word peace. "They shall add to thee." Here we find that the way that we live right and the way that we serve right is that we have peace with God. That we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And we have a relationship with the Lord. That it's not just that we've signed a card, or it's not that we've gone through the baptismal waters. It's not that we're going through some religious activity, but I'm talking about having a real relationship with God, that you can get a hold of the Lord and the Lord can get a hold of you. That's peace with God. So what good is length of days? What good is a long life if we don't have peace? Well, to have peace, we better not forget His Word. To have peace, we need to keep His commandments in our heart. That's that memorization that I was talking about a while ago that we don't like to do. Keep them in our heart. So we, to have good advice that He gives us, number one, don't forget His Word. Number two is don't forsake these two next words, mercy and truth. Verse number three, verse number four. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God." And those last two words I think are very important. And man. We live for God as a Christian, but we live with man. We have relationship with mankind. We contact folks every day. We have interaction with people every day of our life. And here He tells us that if we need, in doing that, we need to understand mercy and truth. Bind them about your neck. That's a statement that just tells us to put them up close to our heart. Put them in our heart and to write them upon our heart. To bind them upon our neck means that we have them there available for us. That thing of mercy and thing of truth. The benefit here is that we have favor, good understanding, the sight of God and men. Mercy is a gift from God, but truth is a gift that must be learned. We do not just know truth, we must learn truth. We have mercy from the Lord because if we didn't have the mercy of God, we were all this morning be in a bad condition. It's because of His mercy that we are living. It's because of His mercy that we are saved. It's because of His mercy that we are where we are this morning. and not in some terrible predicament. It's the mercy of God. The word mercy means compassionate treatment. I'm glad the Lord is compassionate toward us. He treats us correctly. He treats us right. He gives us clemency. He helps us. It's a disposition, according to the dictionary, to be kind and forgiving. Something for which to be thankful. The mercy of the Lord. The mercy of God. And Solomon tells his son here, said, don't let mercy forsake you. Bind it around your neck. Put it upon your heart. Have the mercy of God and that understanding that God loves you and God deals with you as a father and son relationship. Then the word truth. It means that we conform to a fact. We may not agree with it, but truth is truth. You see, truth is, today in our society, truth is negotiable. Well, it might be true now, but it won't be true tomorrow. That's not truth. Truth is always true. It's never false. It's always true. And so when it comes down to certain things that we know, facts that are given to us in the Word of the Lord, then it's not negotiable. You don't sit down at a table and work out a deal as to what truth is. Truth is what the Scripture says it is. And we're to bind it around our neck, we're to have it upon our heart, that we might have the blessings of God, that we might be able to talk with God and get along with mankind. You know why there's so many problems in our society today? Nobody knows what truth is. A long time ago, it became a gray area. Well, it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. Well, if it's true, it's true for everybody. When I was in high school, I heard that thing, well, it's not right for everybody to do this. It may be right for you, but it won't be right for them. That is not a truth. Truth is always right for everybody. And here Solomon says to his son, he tells him, first of all, take the commandment of God, put it in your heart. Secondly, take the mercy of God and the truth of God, apply that to your heart so that you can get along with mankind. The reason we have wars and struggles and problems is because nobody has any idea what truth is, and they do not care what it is. And so, this morning, as a child of God, as a Christian, as a graduate, then we are to not forget the Word of God and certainly not to forsake the truth of the Lord. Not to forsake the mercy of God. Third thing is found in verse 5 and 6. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Wonderful words here. I have them in a bracket. Some of you may have them underlined. They've been used time and time again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. What great instruction that is for the child of God. What great instruction that is for the graduates. To trust in the Lord with all your heart. You don't trust in your own understanding because our understanding has been darkened. We don't trust in our thoughts because our thoughts are just like us. They are depraved. Our heart is desperately wicked. We're not to trust our own thinking. We're not to trust our own feelings. Well, I feel like this. Well, it doesn't matter how we feel. What does matter is what God says. Well, I feel like this is right. I've heard people say some of the most obnoxious, terrible things, and they say, I think it's all right because I feel like it's all right. And then they'll come along with this little statement. It doesn't matter what the Scripture says. I think it's okay. Well, it does matter what the Scripture says. That makes it okay or not okay. That's the authority of the Word of God. And so Solomon says here, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't trust your thinking. Don't trust your feelings. Don't even trust your experiences because sometimes the devil can give us experiences and he's a great manipulator. He's a deceiver. Proverbs 28:26, same author, Solomon, he writes these words. He that trusteth in his own heart, pretty strong words, the next three words, is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. There's that contrast between the foolish and the wise. The righteous, the unrighteous. So he that trusteth in his own heart, that's our will, that's our thinking, that's our ways, that's our experiences. If we trust only in that, then the Word of God says we're a fool. We're very foolish. We are to not acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways. He is the Lord. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge that He is right, and sometimes we are wrong. We have to acknowledge that He is the one that directs our path, and not necessarily us, in all of our ways. That's a pretty broad statement. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. That means, and I just wrote down a few of them here, that means in picking our friends. Sometimes friends are not good for us. The wrong friends lead you the wrong direction. Well, I'll straighten them out. It never has happened. Very seldom does that happen. I don't know how many people I've talked to that are getting married, and one of them was saved and serving, and one of them maybe said they were and not serving. And they said, "Well, we'll direct their path. They'll come along my way." And before long, it's the one that is the Christian that is no longer available to God. So we need to direct our path. Let Him direct our paths, even in the pursuance of our friends, and even in churches and directions that God gives us. And we're to let Him acknowledge His ways, even in proclaiming the gospel. The benefit of that, God will do the directing. He will help you. I'm glad He doesn't lead us out here in a desert and say, "Okay, now find your way back home." Life is much more complicated than a desert. Life is more difficult than just out there. I'm glad He doesn't save us and say, "Now do the best you can." No, He saves us and then He begins to teach us and train us by that Holy Spirit that we sang about a while ago. He abides. And He does that by the Word of God and by the preaching and by our friends that we have that are correct and right. So we need to learn to trust in the Lord, whether we are 50 or 15. It doesn't matter if we're a graduate from high school, college, or living just a life for God. We need to learn and make sure that we let Him direct our paths, that we trust in the Lord. Solomon says if we do that, He will direct us. Don't lean to our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's an easy statement. Boy, what a vast, vast supply that is. So we're to keep the Word of God. Don't forget it. We're to not forsake. Now we're to trust. Now it tells us here in verse number 7 and 8, "Be not wise in thine own eyes." Be not wise in thy own eyes. Don't think too highly of yourself. We have to remember every once in a while, and I don't know if it was Brother Sisson that said it or not, he said, somebody heard the last couple of weeks, we're not just dirt, we're dust. We're not much. We're not a whole lot. And so we need to be careful that we don't think too highly of ourselves, because we are what we are by the grace of the Lord. And we're not to be wise in our own eyes. We need to fear the Lord, fear His judgment, to fear Him, the disappointing of our family, our friends, and the respect, the reverence that pertains to Him. We need to fear Him, not that we are afraid of Him, but we fear Him in reverential truth. That He is our God. The Bible says here that we are depart from evil, verse 7. When we see it, we run from it, not to it. When we see it, we go from it. We run from it. And the instruction, I think, is good. We run from it, we keep running from it, and we keep running from it because it's always there. It's always present. Evil is always before us. Opportunity is always there. Run from it. Resist the devil, the Bible says, and he will flee from you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness and faith, charity, peace, with all them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." There's that heart again. The benefit is that we have health. The reason, I believe, and not all problems, but there are some sicknesses and some problems that come to us physically because of the life that we lead. I was hearing someone talk about an individual having a problem because it's a life that they led. Because it's a result, end result of what they did to their body. And we're all guilty of that. We all have that in us that we sometimes we do things, we put things, we have things on us then within us that we should not have that will hurt us physically. But I'll tell you what, there's enough out there also that will hurt us spiritually that will destroy us. And so we need to be wise, not in our own eyes, but be wise and have the wisdom of God. He says here that it shall be health. To have you to have health in your life. Verse number 9, verse number 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That means don't forget God. God gives you life. God gives you ability. God gives you substance. Don't forget the Lord. Now you can, you know I never, very seldom do I ever mention that subject of money. Because I believe God takes care of our heart. But the Scripture says here we're to honor the Lord with our substance. That means if there's a need and God's blessed me, I ought to be able to give to that need. Now, I'm not talking about UNICEF. I'm not talking about all the organizations that the world has. I'm talking about the house of God. To honor the Lord with our substance. Now, there are some organizations out there. There are some hospitals that do great works and God bless them for that. The children's hospitals. But that's not what He's talking about. He's talking about the substance that God gives us in a spiritual aspect. And so He says here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. As God gives you, as God honors you, then we're to give back to the Lord. And the Scripture is very plain and very clear and tells us that we are to give our tithe and offerings. The Old Testament says bring it into the storehouse. The New Testament talks about the church being the store of God. And so we find that we are to spend and be spent for God. He says there, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruit of thy increase. Now notice the benefit. Every one of these verses has had a benefit. Here's the benefit of this. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. And thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know what he's talking about there? God's going to give back more than you can ever stand. We're never going to outdo the Lord. We're never going to outgive God. We're never going to do more than God could ever repay us. For He is able. Not just money, but I'm talking about time. I'm talking about our talents that God gives us. How that God can use us. Not just talking about the money. Talking about substance that God gives us. God gave His best. I think we ought to give our best. God gave His Son. We ought to give our life. Give God honor with what you have. And the Lord even uses in the New Testament the widow that had just one mite. And they had all the Pharisees standing over there by the treasury. That they were standing over there by the place where they gave their tithe. A little different than what we do. They had it up front and you come by and drop it in. There's still some churches that do that. I have no problem with that. And the Scripture says that they made sure that everybody saw how much they put in. And then the Lord says there's this widow woman came and she had one mite. If I'd have thought, I've got a mite up in my study. It's not worth anything. But that's all she had. That small piece of money of that day. And she put it in so no one would see. She did it because she probably was ashamed that that's all she had. And so she put it in, made no big deal over it because it was no big deal to those that had put in so much. But the Lord said, I tell you what, she gave more than all of them. So God doesn't count the amount. God counts the heart. God counts the attitude of what we do and how we give and what we do, how we go. And so, to have these instructions of the Lord, it's not just for graduates, it's for all of us. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. It doesn't say old age, it says in thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember the Creator in thy youth when you're young. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, 14, he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon now has written Proverbs. Solomon has now written Ecclesiastes. He comes to the last portion of his book in Ecclesiastes. And now here's the conclusion of everything that I've written. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God's going to bring it forth. Pretty good conclusion there in Ecclesiastes. He said, everything that I've written, here's the summation. Here's the, in a nutshell. Fear God. Keep His commandments. That's pretty much what he says here in chapter 3. Fear God. Keep His commandments. And then to realize that's our duty. That's what God expects out of us. That's our duty. Fear God. Keep His commandments. Because one day, whether good or evil, we're all going to stand before Him. That's the conclusion. One day we're going to leave this world. This year, I've done four funerals. Last part of last year and this year. Sharon's lost two sisters within a week of each other. Brother Finley passed away. Miss Steele at the end of last year. Miss Sue just a few days ago. And who knows what name will be added to that tomorrow. Oh, I feel pretty good. I'm not sick. Death doesn't have any respect of how we feel. It doesn't have any respect of where we live. It doesn't have any respect of our age. When I was in high school, I went to a funeral of a friend. He got out in his car. And he did like so many people do, me included and probably some of you. He thought he could handle it. He thought he could take care of the speed. He thought he could do what he wanted to do. And just, I went by it the other day and saw the marks. And brought it all back. Death is no respecter of who we are. He hit a bridge instantly. Running about 100 miles an hour. Could have very easily been me. I had a friend that had a car. We did more than that a lot of times. Very easily. But thank God for His mercy and His truth. For His protection. I'm glad this morning that He is our protector. And death does not respect who we are. And one of these days, whether we're a graduate of this past week or so, or whether we graduated a long time ago, one day we're going to leave this world and we're going to stand before God. May these few things in Proverbs chapter 3 be good advice for all of us that we can enjoy life and have peace in our life. Let's stand together this morning.